have a similar picture of myself as a toddler.
Of your face switched against a microphone?
A screen.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was apparently hilarious.
It's weird because I didn't turn myself up, but I sound queer. Maybe my ears are finally working again.
Oh, maybe. Potentially, yeah, I'm glad.
I don't fucking know.
You know what? Hey.
Who gives a shit?
Well, you know. You can hear enough to know that we're saying words.
I can hear words.
Yeah, my ears did that too for a minute after whatever was going on with me a few weeks ago, nasally.
Did you get all congested and
shit?
I
didn't feel bad. I was just sort of nasally.
Allergies. The semen trees are in bloom. That means spring is here.
The cum trees are here.
Apparently, the pollen count in Oregon this year is insane.
Oh, yeah? Insane.
Like, super high.
Cool.
I guess. Which would make sense because I've been so itchy lately. And I was like, hey, can seasonal allergies make my skin itch? And the internet was like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you dumb bitch. Sure can. So that's probably why. I was like, oh, God damn it. But see, I've had seasonal allergies / hay fever, whatever you want to call it, since I can remember. Like, right. I started getting them really bad in probably fifth grade, and they just got worse, and then we figured it out. And I've never been this itchy in my life.
Oh, yeah.
It's never an experience I've had when it's been allergy season, and I would prefer to not ever have known that it's a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. We're all here.
I didn't need stupid allergy symptom. I already sneezed myself down the stairs.
Yes. I'm sorry, did you say sneeched?
I didn't mean to. I may have. Meant to say sneezed. My mouth is still not working like it was yesterday.
Mouth is still tired from yesterday.
And also the fact that I haven't really spoken to many people on this day because I've been at home.
Well, there you go.
Is it fair to say that from the 10 pages that you had yesterday that today's is a little truncated?
You're 100% accurate about that one. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, all right.
I'm assuming we're recording.
Oh, for sure.
Well, hey, guess what?
Everybody
then?
Knows about how itchy you are.
That's fine. It's just my arms.
Hey, guess what?
Huh.
Welcome to Ghosts and Hoes.
Ghosts and
Hoes, a paranormal podcast where we talk about
paranormal for sure.
All things spoopy, cryptids.
Stoop.
Aliens,
Stoop.
Motherfucking witchcraft,
Boop.
Murder most motherfucking foul.
Usually.
And that one time, haunted bunk beds.
Oh,
I know, that was for you.
Thank you. I really needed that.
Yeah, and if anyone's new here, I'm Dee.
I'm Z.
I'm Randall on the ones and twos.
Yeah, that's him. That's that guy.
He's right there.
He's right there doing stuff and things. Yeah. So, do we have any backhoes?
Yeah, because we weren't here last week.
No.
It's a shockingly small number compared to the last time.
Right.
Because that was a whole page of them. But first, shout out to our new patroon, Mindy.
Hey, Mindy!
I already sent your stuff, so hopefully you have it by now.
Love that for you, Mindy.
Yeah, welcome to the shit show.
Welcome, thanks to, welcome to the shit show.
It is a show of shit.
The shit show.
So, remember what I mentioned? It was not last week or the week before. It was sometime in the recent past. Some new shirts were coming.
Yeah!
The ones that say the soup spoons and suspect and highly questionable.
Yeah!
Those are up on the Redbubble now.
Hey!
Go and get them.
Ye old Redbubs. They are there ready and waiting for you. There is another one. There's a new design coming.
Oh, boy.
It just has to be resized.
Okay. Love that.
Do you want to know?
Does it have anything to do with a Denny's?
Sure fucking does.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had a feeling.
And Beef Baby said unto us all, yes on this day.
Yes on this
day. And yes in this Denny's. There will be a shirt. It's just...
What does it say?
It is the Denny's sign.
Uh-huh.
And it says, not on this day, not in this Denny's.
Nice.
It's delightful.
That's incredible.
I just have to get the image resized. But it will be coming soon, which is very, very exciting. It's delightful.
I cannot wait to get that shirt.
I am stoked. Also, Redbubble is having a sale right now. So
go get your merch.
Go get some shit.
Yeah.
Get your merch.
Do it.
Merch away. Merch, 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 merch.
Oh. How that word's lost all meaning.
How do they find us on Redbubble?
Well, there's a link
uh-huh.
On the episodes.
Uh-huh.
wherever you listen to those at, like Apple Podcasts, whatever. There's a link there. And also just search Ghosts and Hoes when you go to the Red Bubs.
Lovely.
Yeah, Red Bubs.
Our Bubs. Sounds like an STD.
Our Bubs?
Red Bubble.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't think about that.
They sure didn't.
I mean, let's not.
I don't
like it.
It's terrible.
Thank God it's not called Red Bumps.
It made my eyes itchy.
Oh, goodness.
Could it be the allergies? No, it's just because that was so gross. It made my eyes itch.
It's pretty gross.
And then. This was, I sent you yesterday.
Oh, boy.
If my phone would cooperate. There we go. Hold place. I gotta find it. There's too many things. I don't love the song you're singing at me right now. I can tell you that much. Here it is.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. This is a tweet from Damien Eccles. And if you are into true crime, you already know that name.
If you don't, you're going to learn about it real quick.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today.
Not on this day.
Not on this day. Not at this Denny's. No, but next month's Denny's.
Next month's Denny's. So this is from Damien Eccles. Just last, the 18th. The Arkansas Supreme Court has ruled in our favor. Further DNA testing is to be allowed. Hopefully this will allow us to solve this case once and for all. Thank you to everyone who has supported us for the past 31 years. I'll keep you posted as things move forward.
Right.
It is a very rough case. That we have both not wanted
We've been avoiding this
for a very long time. For many reasons. For those like who was Damien Eccles? Well, he most recently was the like in pop culture, the inspiration or partial inspiration behind the character of Eddie Munson from Stranger Things. And then
part of the Memphis Three. Is the Memphis Three right?
West
Memphis Three. It's a case that we have been avoiding. It is a horrific, horrific murder of some very young boys. And it was bad.
Satanic panic.
And three teen boys were sent to prison for it. And not many people think they did it.
With good reasons.
With good reasons. And Damien Eccles is one of them. And he has been fighting for a very long time because there's DNA. And the Arkansas has been avoiding testing it because then they'd have to admit that, hey.
They were wrong. And they sent three likely innocent young men to prison for a very long time. Sometimes we do that.
So,
It's very...
He's written several books. He, in prison, he became a practitioner of high magic. And that is something that got him through his very long incarceration. Much of Hollywood, celebrities, politicians, just people in general have been behind them for a very long time.
It's a very exciting development.
They're out.
Now, yes. Which we'll talk about someday.
It's
a whole fucking mess. Almost a whole ass car. Just a different.
Different kind of
in
car.
In a different way. We've now since decided that the time is now. The time is next month's Denny's. Because, this is a huge, huge thing that they've been fighting for a very long time. Damien specifically. So that's, the time is now. We were both just like, no.
I know.
We've avoided this one. We really since, have. For 5 years?
Yeah, the whole time. I sent her the tweet yesterday when I was at the store after we recorded the Patroon. And I was just like, holy shit. And I think your response was something like, what the fuck? And I was like, holy shit, what the fuck? And just...
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
It's going to be a huge thing once it... And mm-hmm. it could take a long time because it could. That's how the fucking legal system works.
It is.
She's never in any hurry.
And I am very curious to so see if curious. It's exactly who I think it is.
Ooh, we'll have to talk about that later because I have questions. But then, so like we said, next month's patroon is going to be that. Spoiler alert. Yeah, and we will also just keep you posted once we hear more about it.
Yeah.
Sure, like I said, it will not be in the next few weeks, because again, good lord.
But at least you'll all be prepared when that info comes.
Yeah. Next. So I don't know if either of you probably haven't, you maybe. There's been this huge push on, I want to say it started on TikTok. I'm not 100% sure, but there was a sound that people were using in their TikToks and reels mm-hmm. on Instagram or whatever. And people were like, where did this song come from? Because it was only a very short clip of the song mm-hmm. that people started calling, what did they call it? I want to say everyone knows that ulterior motive, because those were like the only lyrics you could make out because the quality of the song wasn't the greatest.
Okay.
And it was literally very, like just a teeny clip of this song.
Okay.
And people were like, where is this from? What is happening? Why? Because it's super catchy.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been looking to try and find this for months. I assumed, like a handful of other people on the interweb, that it was probably just one of those songs that's a royalty-free something in the background of a mm-hmm. show a million years ago that maybe three people saw, or even created by AI mm-hmm. as like an engagement farming kind of thing. Because, like I said, the lyrics, you can't really understand most of them. Some of it didn't sound like it was in English, maybe. It was just, like, you know, when you see AI-generated art, mm-hmm. the words yeah. are words, but not actual words. It was like that, but for your earballs. And so hurt. I was like, weird, okay. Well, apparently, I believe today or yesterday, they did find out
AI?
The source. No, it is a real song.
Okay.
And we actually know the person... Who sang it?
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. That was my reaction. I was like, wait. So let me pull this up and read this to you.
Because what?
I was just tickled. Hang on. So the song, like I said, everyone knows that is what they've been calling it. It says this is a post. There's an actual like whole subreddit dedicated to this song.
Figuring it out?
Yeah, to figure it out.
Okay.
And they done did it.
All right, go on.
So this is kind of an explanation. It's like EKT has officially been discovered. Ulterior Motives. Ulterior Motives has officially been found in an adult film.
Mm.
And then user South Pole Ball made the discovery with me after I found a lead earlier this morning, which directed us straight to the artist of the song. Here's how it happened. And so they talk about how they found a video on YouTube of a scene from an adult movie that had a similar sounding song. And then they noticed in the description of the video that it said Christopher St. Booth and Philip Adrian Booth.
Oh my God.
And so they looked into it further and they found out that yes, indeed, Christopher St. Booth was the man behind this viral earworm of lost media.
That is crazy.
I know. And the movie that it's in, if anybody
does
wants
he
to
know
find it, yeah, he does.
Okay.
So the video is called Angels of Passion and it was filmed in 1986.
Oh my god.
Do you have the song? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
I have not that version, but I did find one because they haven't released it yet, but Christopher Booth did post today. He posted on TikTok, wow, mind is blown, thank you, shall we release it? And then another one, he's like, yeah, wow, because people are like, hey, we found you in this song. But I guess he used to be in a band.
I think it was him and his brother.
Yeah, but he was in another, there was somebody else, and it was just, it's a whole thing that I'll have to backhoe.
It's probably later. Like super Depeche Mode-y, I would assume.
Yeah, it is. But this is a version of the song. It's not the version that's been going around because it has not yet been released.
And how in the hell did somebody at TikTok? Okay.
Yeah.
And because people watch porn.
Well, it wasn't that. Yeah, it was just people were like, where is this from? And they were searching, literally scouring every single possibility. And then it ended up being porn.
I want to know, the person who started, who's like, you know what? I'm going to check out my porn.
Right?
Especially from the 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, 80s porn is definitely not unpopular.
Well, true. Yeah. But let's see.
Okay.
I'm trying to find the part.
And also, you brought your Walmart bag, which tells me.
I sure did.
Oh, boy.
But this is... This one is by Smiley the Rula. I don't know. It's on Apple Music. It just came up.
Can't play it for too long.
Nope, that was it. Pulled. But that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, no. I have not watched porn from 1986. Well, no, I've only heard that clip.
Even from the videos, even from TikToks, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
I feel like it wouldn't cross your feed unless you have like a specific following or people you are following.
I should say, I also don't use TikTok.
That's why I was like, I don't think you would know because you don't
Reels on Instagram.
Use it. But yeah, I was like, well, that's a fucking weird thing.
What a quinky dink.
Right?
What a weird one.
How do y'all know him? Through like paranormal conventions and stuff. Yeah. He and his brother are filmmakers. We do like horror movies and stuff. Cool. And paranormal investigations, whatever. And we've encountered them several times throughout the years. I haven't personally seen them in ages. I don't think you have either. But we do know them personally in real life. It's not like we're besties or anything, but... It was just a real...
They'd recognize y'all if
yes. They saw you. Yes.
It was the weird... Because one of the gals I follow on Instagram posted... she was like, EKT has finally been found. I'm like, what the fuck is everything? I am so... I just woke up. I need to put my phone away. I'm so confused. And then I read a couple comments and I was like, oh, I know what song she's talking about. And then I went and... found.
Turns out it
Reddit because she posted the link to the Reddit
fucking world
and was like, hey, go here it is. Here's the answer. And I was like, this morning just keeps getting fucking weirder.
You're like, shut the fuck up.
This is, and then when I heard, like when I listened to the clip again, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that makes 100% of the most sense of anything of all time now that I know who actually is behind it.
Wild.
Right?
That's crazy.
Fucking balloons.
Crazy talk. Crazy pants.
Yes.
All the crazies.
Every crazy.
Oh, well, what's snacks? What's in the bag?
Snacks.
What's in the bag?
These.
Do you want you need to watch that movie right now? Like
Every day.
You want to watch 7 every day?
No.
I truly don't. But it is really.
No, it'll just make you feel icky.
So we've got some chips.
Yeah.
This one is Mr. Chips. He looks a little sketchy.
Ooh. He does look a little sketchy.
He looks like Snidely Whiplash. Is that his name?
Yes, exactly correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The fuck is a Snidely Whiplash?
From, is it Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The villain from Rocky Bullwinkle.
And then just some lays.
Holy shit, did I just date the fuck out of myself?
A lay.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's a lay. So which flavor would you like first? Blue or yellow?
is it Gatorade?
Blue.
Blue? Okay.
She wants to get Snidely. I'm going to pull up a picture of Snidely so you can see him.
Dick nose. Oh, I remember Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Do you remember Snidely Whiplash?
I don't. Probably the villain guy. Actually, I remember Boris and Natasha from...
You know what? I might be wrong because Boris and Natasha were definitely the villains from Rocky.
But I know Snidely Whiplash. I know. I feel like it's adjacent to that. Okay, these smell real good.
Snidely Whiplash. Ooh. Dudley Do Right.
Oh, that's shit.
It's
okay.
The same animation company, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I know who that is. Yeah.
These smell real good.
Y'all, I literally grabbed this bag and I went to smell it and I smelled my microphone like a fucking weirdo. I like my brain just my
our brains are just
my
it's okay.
Synapses weren't synapsing.
They were not.
What's funny? I never watched Dudley Do Right.
Did you watch the
Hey go, buddy.
Live action version?
No.
Shit. I think Brendan Fraser's in that.
It smells good.
Right? These are, I thought they were actually chips, but they're little like.
It's a little O-ring.
Oh, no, he wasn't there.
Corn snacks.
In what?
What?
You good?
Eat your snack hole.
Okay, sorry. I'm falling into an animation hole.
It's going down a chupacabra.
Well,
hole.
That's fine.
That's how I feel about things. Now.
What is happening here?
Snack holes.
These?
They're falafel flavored.
Oh, falafels.
Corn
falafel
things.
Rounds. You ready?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It tastes like falafel.
I yeah. like them.
Very light.
Mm-hmm. Very light.
It's more moist than a falafel.
Gross. Yeah. Ooh, those are.
Those are really good.
Oh, this is actually the first thing I've eaten all day. Whoops.
Oopsie.
That's also the first water I've had all day. I am terrible.
Yeah, I had a liquid IV on the way here today, and I feel much better. I was like, why do I feel tired and shit? Because I needed a hydration.
Yeah. These are seasonal Lay's. Apparently, they've got an East Coast-inspired flavor and a West Coast-inspired flavor.
Was it like lobster and weed?
Boy.
I wish.
No. That's
these
funny.
Are the West Coast-inspired ones.
Oh, gosh.
They smell like Lay's.
God, what words? What are words?
I can't help you in that department.
And I just listened yesterday. I mean, I talked, but I didn't have to read like you guys did.
You did not.
Oh, okay.
God, yesterday was a fucking day.
Oh, people have already.
Oh, okay.
Commented and congratulated because they said it was a very good episode. Oh, it was fantastic.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Oh, I love that.
It tastes like a goddamn crispy taco.
Here's the thing. No, it doesn't, but not to me. It tastes like...
I taste the lettuce, first and foremost, which is odd.
I don't taste lettuce at all.
And taco seasoning.
I think I got some that were not heavy on the spice.
Same.
Because to me, they just taste like chips. I don't really have a flavor.
It's supposed to be crispy taco.
It is supposed to be crispy taco. I am not getting anything from aside from potato and a little salt.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't buy them.
No. Mm. You don't need to buy them again. There are better taco-flavored chips.
Yeah.
They're fine.
They taste like chips.
Yeah, they just don't have a whole lot of flavor, but those falafel-flavored ones. Those are really.
You want those back?
I think I might, yeah. I go first, though.
Because here's the thing. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I will eat plain flavored chips because I'm a fucking weirdo.
I mean, I don't hate it. I was just expecting something else, and then my mouth got real confused.
Like, throw fucking Mission Taco seasoning in a bag with some chips, and it will taste more like tacos than this.
I was like, as someone who had made and had tacos for dinner last night.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
But these guys. These are a delight.
I don't know. I kind of taste it. Like, it's very lightly there. It's like a whisper of lettuce. It's lettuce. It tastes like fucking
lettuce
shredded lettuce.
Here's the
thing. Weird.
It tastes like someone who ate a bunch of tacos farted into someone's face.
Oh, okay.
And then that person made the flavor based on what they remember from the incident that happened 10 years ago.
Lettuce.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's all I got.
Oddly enough, yeah.
Snack-wise and backhoe-wise.
Oh, so I'm sorry I'm so gross today.
You're fine.
Yeah.
We generally
I had tacos last night, too. That's weird.
Weird.
I had the new Taco Bell, the chicken something ones.
Sure.
Cantina something.
Okay.
Yeah, they were pretty damn good. And they got a new sauce.
The avocado one?
Yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
I had that.
That was dope.
I like it.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be eating out, but I might go get tacos for dinner.
Yo, heart los tacos.
Tacos.
Yo, heart los tacos. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway. Well,
it's my turn.
Yeah.
I go first this time.
Yeah. Do it.
Okay. Well, let's hang on.
Do the thing with the stuff.
Gotta take a drink about it.
Oh, you got 4 pages there.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
You were.
I was hyper-focused.
Go listen to the Titanic Patreon. Yeah, we put a lot of work into
it. You'll figure out why. Because the Titanic is...
It's two and a half hours.
Yep.
And I did probably half of it.
You did. The Titanic. We did the Titanic.
And I listened.
You did.
And I said stuff and sang songs.
Yes. And I maybe threatened to twist your nerves.
You did. You did.
I did.
You did.
Go.
I'm gonna.
All right. On this day, in this Denny's.
In this Denny's.
The time is now.
It is time.
It is time. The time has come.
Simba. But, yes. After the last couple of weeks of traumatizing, for very different reasons, stories.
Yep.
Looking at Polyclass and the horrific tale of the Denver Spider-Man.
Yes.
I figured that we could all use something a little bit lighter. And this one has been on my list for a while.
Okay.
So there was no better time to tell you about the haunting on 37th Street, a.k.a. the Woods family haunting, than today.
Oh, yeah. Today's that day.
Today is the day.
All right. This is that Denny's.
Picture it.
Yes.
Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, okay.
December 1994.
Oh, okay.
Ed and Mary Woods move into a new house on 37th Street with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting settled. Everything's going great. Until, of course, it wasn't.
Mm.
About 7 months after moving in, shit starts getting weird.
Hmm.
Like it always does. It started off innocently enough.
Mm-hmm.
One evening, Mary was just chilling when she suddenly heard the very faint sound of a music box playing somewhere in the house.
That's creepy.
Well, she did have two young daughters, so...
Yeah, okay.
She got up and looked all over the place to find the source of the tune, and eventually figured that it was coming from her husband Ed's office.
Uh-huh.
She checked the room, and while she could still hear it, she couldn't actually find the music box herself. I don't love it. This wouldn't be the last time that Mary would hear the phantom music box either, as it would happen several more times.
Got it.
When the activity in the home started, Ed was fairly skeptical, which is fair enough. Because, like I said, at the time, they did have two young daughters, so it seemed pretty safe to assume that one of them was playing tricks on her unsuspecting parents.
He had some sort of something.
Right, you know.
Toys and shit.
Yeah.
They make noise.
Ed continued to believe that his oldest daughter was likely the prankster, until one specific evening would prove his theory very wrong. While he was in his home office, he noticed the doorknob jiggling. He assumed it was his daughter, so he pulled the dadliest of dad moves. He crept towards the door and flung it open, fully expecting to catch her in the act and probably startle her, give her a taste of her own medicine.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was no one on the other side when he opened the door.
Well, that's uncomfortable.
It sure is. He checked the house, and everyone was very much asleep.
Goo.
Instead of jumping full force into believing the weird activity was paranormal in nature, Mary decided to give the University of Washington a call to speak with someone at the Seismology Center, a.k.a. the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network, to see if maybe there was something going on with the fault lines.
Okay.
If you've grown up on the West Coast, you're familiar with the big one, a.k.a. the gigantic catastrophic earthquake that they've been threatening us with since as long as I can remember. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I heard my mom say they talked about it when she was in school as well.
I'm looking at your side boob right now. It's lovely.
Thank you. You're welcome. It's just glorious side boob.
It is coming.
Yeah, it's someday. But it's been threatened since as long as I can remember.
Oh, yeah. It's because it's like...
Which, to be fair, is...
We're somewhere around like 50,000 years overdue for it. Yeah. So it's just like, it's could just, happen tomorrow, could happen in another 50,000 years.
Matter of time.
Ah!
Yeah, but they always made it seem like it was happening now.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you chill? So she was like, well, maybe it's something to do with that, which is fair. So she called to see if there was anything weird going on seismically, but according to Mary, they told her that at the time, quote, there were no fault lines running through the area. There was no underground aquifer. There was no weakness that could account for any type of movement in the house other than normal settling that will happen when the house with the house as it gets older.
But she really looked into this, though.
She did. And can I just say how much I love that move? Like, that's pretty fucking...
Right? She's like, okay, well, I'm going to break this down.
Yeah, literally ruling everything out first.
Instead of saying, oh, it was a car driving by.
Yeah, or it was a ghost. Just immediately. She's like, I'm going to look into this first.
Right.
Just in cases, which I love.
Yeah.
Rule everything out and go from there.
Yeah.
Smart.
No.
However, smart. As it always does, the activity escalated in a way that made it pretty impossible to blame on the shifting of tectonic plates.
Ruh-roh.
One evening, Mary spotted the figure of a whole-ass woman standing at the other end of the hallway.
Well, that's unsettling.
A little bit. During their segment on Unsolved Mysteries, Mary said, quote, I actually saw the figure of a woman. She was about my height, wearing a scarf around her head and a long flannel nightgown. I was not scared of her. I did not get the impression that she was mean. I was startled. I mean, you have something come out of the hall and you're just going, okay. But no, I was not frightened of her. I was just startled by her. After several encounters with the woman in white, Mary decided to do a little research into her home and its previous residents to see if she could find any information on who the woman may have been. And surprise, surprise, she did.
Yeah.
As it turned out, the woman she'd been seeing had indeed lived in the home, but had died in 1974. So,
okay.
20 years prior. The local paper wrote up a piece on the Woods' haunted house, a.k.a. the haunting on 37th Street. And shortly after it was published, a woman contacted Mary with a little more information on the woman in white. According to the unnamed source, she had been close friends with the woman while she was alive and confirmed the limited information that Mary had found, that she had died following complications from cancer, which explained the scarf that she always wore. The woman added that she'd helped care for her friend as her condition worsened, and that her dearly departed friend had basically lived in flannel nightgowns after her diagnosis.
Aww.
Yeah. She also told Mary that she and the woman could have been twins, noting that Mary was roughly the same age as her friend.
When she passed.
The time that she had passed. Yeah, they were roughly the same age, and they looked a lot alike.
Oh, interesting.
And the woman had also been a mother. This information led the anonymous woman and Mary to believe that these similarities were behind the continued appearance of the woman in white's attachment to the home and Mary, who would later reiterate her lack of fear, saying, quote, I get the feeling of protectiveness, like she's watching over the kids. Going in, checking on the kids, making sure they're okay. I found out later that her children were in the same bedrooms that my children were in, and it could be that she was just looking for hers.
Aww.
I know. The woman in white was not the only apparition seen in the house either. Another figure was encountered by Ed on at least one occasion. This time, however, the spirit wasn't quite as friendly as the woman seemed to be. According to Ed, quote, the first thing I actually saw was a man standing in the living room. Looked like an old riverboat gambler with a little ribbon tie and a mustache. You look at him twice because you're not sure if he's going to do something. He just never moves, though. He's always perfectly still, just looking down the hall. But he seems just very inimical, like you wouldn't want to cross this guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like... I don't know how or why there was a surly old-timey riverboat gambler in their living room, but I do
well,
know.
Well, it's close to the river.
That's true, but I do know that I would hate it.
Yeah.
Because, sir, the only gamble we take in this good Christian home is racing our edibles whilst trying to work on our writing. Or ordering Taco Bell in the middle of the night. Are you the Mothman? No. And get the fuck out of my house because the Mothman is the only weirdo I want to take me away.
Yeah. That's it. Just that one.
Mothman, take me away. Exactly. Exactly. Oh. But in any event, there was yet another spirit haunting the house on 37th Street. A little girl that Ed and Mary dubbed Pinky.
Aww.
Yeah. According to Ed, quote, Pinky is a little girl, 8 to 10 years old, and once in a while, you hear her giggle.
Aww.
Their first encounter with Pinky took place one evening while the family was watching some movies together. Ed and Mary heard some giggling and assumed it was their youngest kiddo, but when Mary leaned over to check, they were fast asleep, meaning that there was no way for them to have been the giggler. But Pinky seemed to be another fairly regular ghostly guest in the Woods' home. As they mentioned in the episode, that she, quote, loudly giggles whenever she's seen, which is just cute.
See, this is like a fun haunting. I like this.
It gets better.
Yeah.
But yeah, the little girl ghost, it sounds like she was playing like hide and seek or something. And I bet she was the one jiggling the door handle.
Probably.
Just.
Little Pinky.
Little playing tricks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, aw. Irritating sometimes, but cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't live with children, but I can imagine it would get wearisome.
Yeah.
After all, I live across the street from several.
Oh, yeah. You do.
Children.
You do.
For the school.
Yeah.
Like today, when I was in the office, usually I do not love recess time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can hear every shriek.
They like to scream.
They really do. But today, I was writing this, and it was actually pretty funny because I heard one little boy, can't tell you how old he was, I don't know, he was just running, I'm assuming, back and forth along the fence.
Oh, yeah, the zoomies.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he was just going, giggity, giggity, goo!
No, he did not.
He sure did. Repeatedly. And it was fucking hilarious. At first, the first one, I just heard him go, giggity. I'm like, you're a child, what? And then he just kept repeating it and escalating in his volume. And it was very funny.
That's hilarious.
I was like, wee-hee.
That's funny.
This is okay. I'll allow this one.
That's funny.
That was funny.
Giggity, giggity, goo.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Kids are weird.
They are. I've heard some real weird things from over there. And
I've heard weird things in my house.
Also, yes. I was like, oh, should I be concerned? I don't care enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my experience with a child being a weirdo today.
Yeah, long sleeve pants is my new favorite, though.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. He doesn't want short sleeve pants. He only wants long sleeve pants.
Okay. Got it. Well, it's like one of the little girls I used to nanny, she called tortillas, just plain tortillas, plain quesadillas, which was fucking adorable. And my friend's son calls tortillas something else, and I'll have to look it up because I cannot remember off the top of my head, but I'm like, why are kids so silly? It's so funny.
They are.
Yeah.
And everything has to have bar-gar-you sauce right now.
Bar-gar-you sauce?
Bar-gar-you.
Oh, he added a...
Yeah.
Oh, letter.
Bar-gar-you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well. It was bar-gar-roo.
Mm-hmm. Bar-gar-you.
Now it's bar-gar-you, because I think he thinks he's corrected himself.
Well, we're going to let him
You got some barbecue sauce? Bar-gar-you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Everything needs bar-gar-you sauce. And kids, of course, really, you know, bar-gar-you Pringles are his fave stuff.
I mean, kids really do say that aren't just things.
Long sleeve pants and bar-gar-you sauce.
Plain quesadillas.
And plain quesadillas.
Just, I'll have to think of some hilarious things that my niece has told me lately.
Oh, she's a funny one too.
That kid.
She's a funny one.
She started calling my mom Nan.
Oh.
And I was like, is she a Victorian child? All of a sudden?
Right. Men.
My mom said it was because she's a big girl now, is what she told my mom.
Oh.
I'm a big girl now.
Oh.
And we're best friends.
Oh. Yeah.
And then.
Nan.
Potty training is the thing.
Yeah.
She's not into. And my mom was trying to convince her to use the potty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you're a big girl now. You have to use a potty. She's like, no, I'm just very small.
No, I'm just
very small. No, I don't think so. I'm just very small. I'm like. Okay,
fair enough.
Oh, children.
I know.
Oh, Lord. So.
Back to Pinky.
Back to Pinky and the haunting on 37th Street.
Pinky in the house.
Pinky and the haunting. Pinky and the haunting.
Yeah. So, you know, just so far, nothing super terrifying.
Right.
But not all of the ghosts in the home were seen, but their presence was hard to ignore, especially when you learn where this particular specter chose to appear.
Oh, boy.
To quote Bobby Stacks himself, quote, consider the spirit in the shower, never seen, but definitely felt.
Oh, boy.
If you've been wondering why I chose this case, it's about 1% because it's relatively local and 99% because of the shower ghost.
Right?
I mean, y'all know how I feel about spiders and spooks being in the bathroom with me. Not great. It's a naked place.
It is a naked place.
I don't need you here. Please leave immediately.
Yes. And when we were in Jerome.
Exactly.
You were in the shower. Say,
I talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Because before I derail myself too much further, let's talk about this specific shower ghost first. Because according to Ed, quote, ourselves and many people that have been guests of ours have taken baths or showers and have found themselves accompanied in the shower by a friendly hug and general body rub that seems to be quite female in nature. It doesn't seem to matter if the person taking the shower is male or female, just somebody's been gone a long time, I think, and missed some of the things that the world had to provide. God damn it, Ed. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. And like Dee just said, if you've listened to our show since the beginning, you'll remember that I've had a very similar experience. It was not at the Woods' house, but yes, in Jerome, Arizona. I was taking a shower and felt someone run their hand up my leg, which is uncool because the shower is a naked place and I did not ask you to join me.
Nope.
It was the weirdest, creepiest, nakedest situation. I was like, no.
No, thanks.
Stop it.
Hands to yourself. Hands to yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Keep your motherfucking ghosty hands to yourself.
Please. In any event, like Ed said, the handsy ghost didn't seem to have any allegiance to any particular resident of the home, but would strike, or rather caress, whenever the mood struck. One notable incident occurred when Ed's son came for a visit, and to yet again quote Bobby Stacks, quote, he got the welcome of a lifetime.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's funny. Mary elaborated on the situation. Just, you have to hear it in his voice.
The welcome of a lifetime.
I cannot do that because
nobody can do Bobby
never
Stacks.
Go that my friend Eric can.
Oh.
Remember, he was the one that would call me in the middle of the night. Oh. I would pick up my phone and he would start talking like Robert Stack and I would hang up on him immediately. And then he would call back cackling and then he would sing the Rainbow Connection to me in the voice of Kermit the Frog to make up for the fact that he was just the world's most enormous dick.
Huh? What a good dude, though.
It was. I love that guy. I miss him. I'll text him later. Anyway. This was in high school, by the way, that he used to do that to me. So it was like the beginning of people having cell phones that weren't in suitcases that you carried in your car. So Mary elaborated on the situation, sharing, quote, he went in, took a shower, came out, and the first thing out of his mouth was he looked at his dad and said, okay, well, it's with the shower. Honestly, I thought they were teasing me. I thought they were just giving me a line about the ghosts. About a week later, I went in and took a shower and got a very friendly hug. And I came out and I looked at my husband and I said, I think your ghost likes either sex. If you were wondering, this segment is casually referred to as the bisexual ghost case by those in the Unsolved Mysteries fandom. And I love it. I love it so much.
The bisexual ghost case.
Haunted bunk beds and bisexual ghosts. I am here for it all. Yes.
Oh, shit.
There was activity, quote, beyond shadowy specters and gentle caresses. Thank you to whichever Unsolved Mysteries writer made Bobby Stacks say those words.
Mm-hmm.
The couple recounted how they'd suddenly hear a crash in the bathroom, only to find everything on the counters knocked over or sometimes all over the floor.
Uh-oh.
But nothing was ever broken.
Okay.
Things would move and rattle around on their own. Picture frames would move. And on several occasions, items were found in places that no one in the family could recall leaving them.
Okay.
According to Mary, the activity would occur, quote, almost every day for about 3 or 4 months, and then it died down for a couple of months, which is pretty much how it goes. Eventually, paranormal investigator Lloyd Auerbach, who was just recently here at OGC, Lloyd Auerbach was called in to take a look at the house and see if he could determine a cause for all the activity. During his initial investigation, he noted that there were sudden spikes on the magnetometer he'd been using in the living room, hallway, and back bathroom.
Okay.
For those who don't know, a magnetometer is, quote, a passive instrument that measures changes in the Earth's magnetic field.
Okay.
Now, in relation to the paranormal, these devices are similar to an EMF detector. One does AC and one does DC, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I tried to read more into it, and I'm like, my brain is not in a place for these kinds of technical things. Mm-mm. Not on this day. No. Not in this Denny's. Mm-mm. In my brain and heart and mind. No. And soul.
No. Not in the science Denny's.
Not in science Denny's. What would science Denny's be? We agreed that C Denny's would be Long John Silver's. Science Denny's. OMSI? Museum of Science and Industry?
No.
It'd be a gastropub.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's not a specific one that I can give you, but it's a gastropub for
that
sure.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
What is your science, Denny's? Let us know. as Tracy V. Wilson of How Stuff Works explains it, quote, in some haunted locations, researchers have measured magnetic fields that are stronger than normal or which exhibit unusual fluctuations. These may be localized phenomena that stem from electronic equipment or geological formations, or they may be part of the Earth's magnetic field. Some paranormal investigators think of this as proof of a supernatural presence. And the ghost creates the field.
Uh-huh.
Others suggest that these fields can interact with the human brain, causing hallucinations, dizziness, or other neurological symptoms. Some researchers have theorized that this is one of the reasons people report more ghostly activity at night, because of the way the solar wind interacts with the Earth's magnetosphere. The planet's magnetic field stretches out on the side that's in darkness. Some researchers hypothesize that this expanded field interacts more strongly with people's brains. Science. That's a lot of science, and I apologize. In Auerbach's book, Hauntings and Poltergeists, A Ghost Hunter's Guide, he explains, quote, using magnetometers, field investigators have found something of a consistency from haunting to haunting. The magnetometers measure magnetic fields given off by a variety of sources, including human beings and the local magnetic field of the Earth. There's a general background reading for any location. Readings increase when we bring a magnetometer near anything with a higher level of magnetic energy. And you can tell when this book was written by his examples, such as VCRs, digital alarm clocks, and electrical outlets.
Not a VCR.
What's so interesting in haunting cases is that the spots where people experience the activity tend to have higher than background magnetic readings, sometimes much higher, even when all the household power is turned off. Mm-hmm. This effect has occurred in a number of my cases. Sometimes we find a technological or natural source of the fields under or outside of the house, but it doesn't explain how the field can be stationary and encompass only small areas of the building.
Yes.
Got it. So.
There you go.
In regards to the Woods home specifically, he shared that, quote, the magnetometer that I use is sold for detecting whether or not you have electromagnetic pollution. It's not a ghost detector by any way, shape, or form. It's a good indicator that there's a physical connection in the environment to their experience that helps validate that they're not completely making it up in their minds. It helps me understand that they're not completely making it up in their minds also, that there is some correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Of the spikes in the magnetometer readings and the activity itself, Auerbach said, quote, this is a very unusual pattern that we're seeing here that seems to relate to the phenomena, or at least to a sensation of it, but it doesn't seem to relate to anything else.
Trying to see if I am...
So I can pretty much rule out the physical environment for causing this. Over the years I've done investigations, I've started feeling things myself. I wouldn't call myself by any means a psychic, but I would say that I'm becoming more aware of my sensitivities. And I tend to get a sinus pressure that often makes me feel like I need more oxygen, which makes me yawn or start feeling tired. And this was happening to me on a cyclical basis while I've been here, and it was connecting directly to the magnetometer reading. So it's like when we go on investigations and you will feel something in a certain spot that will do your little wrist twirly. And if I'm lucky, I get the dry heaves, which is just the cutest thing in the land.
He looks familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while some sources out there claim that the activity at the Woods house was due to the house being, quote, located in the middle of an area with major electromagnetic pollution, That doesn't seem to match what Auerbach said during his interview with Unsolved Mysteries. Not completely, anyway. In 2001, Ed and Mary were guests on an episode of Larry King Live to discuss their encounters. When asked if the apparitions appeared like they do in a movie, like, you know, when you see a haunted movie, you're like, oh, a ghost. Mary explained that, quote, not really. It's like seeing a slide projected or a photograph projected against a wall. You can see the wall behind it, but it's enough that you can make out details.
Fair. Yeah. Which, yeah. Yeah. That's very similar to how it's like an overlay in everything you're seeing.
Yep. Ed revealed that he had been a skeptic until moving into the home and experiencing phenomena that he simply could not explain. Mm-hmm. Mary also shared that after one visit, her friend told her, quote, I will visit you during the day anytime, but I am never spending night in this house again. I'm assuming it was the bisexual shower ghost. I'm not coming back for this. While that sounds pretty intense, Mary herself didn't seem to be bothered by the haunting, telling King, quote, they don't bother me. I'm used to it. In fact, as an anthropologist, I kind of find it interesting because there is a history of ghosts and ancestral worship cross-culturally throughout the world, and it's been going on for hundreds of years, so who knows? There might be something to it.
Very cool.
Right? I was like, hell yeah. As for any updates on the Woods family, I don't have any for you, unfortunately. At least, none that I've been able to verify.
Mm-hmm.
One YouTube commenter claims to be the youngest child of Ed and Mary. And while their comments actually sound legit, I was not able to confirm their statements.
Okay.
That said, according to them, they no longer identify as female. And since I'm not certain of their pronouns, we're sticking with gender-neutral terms. They were very young when this all started. They also said that, quote, after the episode aired, I would find some of my stuff in odd spots. I do remember having an imaginary friend, and after rewatching this episode in my adulthood, that imaginary friend is eerily similar to Pinky. In a corner of the backyard, there were three apple trees that to a small child seemed like a veritable forest, and I vaguely remember seeing outside ghosts, too, and talking with them, which would freak my parents out. End quote.
Okay.
They then go on to say that they remained in the house until 2004, and that Ed sadly passed away in 2017. Again, I have no real way to verify if they are who they say they are, but the details do seem to match up.
Okay.
So, keep that in mind. As for the cause of the haunting, or if any future residents experienced paranormal activity, it looks like we'll never know for sure. The segment on the Woods home was relatively short and quite likely deliberately left vague. The children are never mentioned by name.
Mm-hmm.
Their ages are never mentioned. Mm-hmm. Ed's son isn't named either. They don't appear in the episode at all.
Okay.
Just
one of those. Fair. Yeah, fair.
This commenter also claimed that, because it was for the Larry King Live show, that they were too young to appear on the show because they were under 18, so they can't really give full consent about appearing on something like that. And they mentioned something about, while their parents were filming, one of the people from the show was playing with them and how that was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's okay, a nice little memory. So there's that. And the show is, their segment was only like 13 minutes long.
Right.
It's an unsatisfying conclusion. I will give you that. But to quote Michael Shermer, publisher and editor-in-chief of Skeptic Magazine and panelist on the Larry King Live episode with Ed and Mary Woods, quote, look, skeptics, scientists, we can't explain all these things that go bump in the night. There will always be mysteries in the unexplained. That's just part of the fun. And that is the story of the Woods family home, a.k.a. the haunting on 37th Street.
That's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Sources real quick. The CNN.com, it was a transcript from the Larry King Live interview, which originally aired in April of 2001. MSN.com, Jack Ripley, Ranker.com, Jacob Shelton, Archive.org, Hauntings and Poltergeists, A Ghost Hunter's Guide by Lloyd Auerbach.
Mm-hmm.
OceanExplorer.noaa.gov.
Oh,
I needed a quote about magnetometers and what they did, and that was the easiest one. Science.howstuffworks.com, Tracy V. Wilson, UnsolvedMysteries.fandom.com, and Unsolved Mysteries Season 10, Episode 4, If you want to watch it, it is season 10, episode 5 on Tubi.
On Tubi. Good old Tubi.
You know I fucking love Tubi.
Love you some Tubi.
I fucking do. Yeah, that was just a fun little one to make up for the horrors I've told you in the last few weeks.
That is a good one.
Right?
Yeah, and it's nice to hear a haunting that's just sort of like, yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah,
it's like nothing's
nothing's
like,
scary.
We called a priest. It was 75 demons in our home.
Right. It's just, like, yeah, there's a kid and an inappropriate, almost inappropriate toucher in the shower, but whatever. I mean
being near water. I'm not exactly sure how close this is to water, but that's also like a conduit for activity. And I guess if you're more sensitive to that kind of thing, that would also maybe act as a lightning rod into bringing activity to you.
Yeah, I'm guessing 37th Street is probably near the downtown area-ish, you know?
I'd have to look at a map. But they showed a couple different houses in the episode, like the exterior. And one of them looks almost exactly like my cousin's house from when we were little, because they were from Vancouver.
Okay. Is it an older home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's got to be, I'll have to, the one picture, I was like, I feel like I know exactly what neighborhood that was filmed in. And then for some, there's another house shown later, and I'm like, I don't think that's the exact same house, but who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
A little fun one.
Yeah.
Just a little quickie.
Well, I've got a story.
I've got a mouthful.
I see that. So, my story today involves one of my favorite things.
Oh.
Genetic genealogy. I'm on a genetic genealogy kick, and that's, you know, that's okay.
When aren't we?
Yeah, it's true. There's a slight twist in this eventually solved cold case.
Okay.
So today I'm going to tell y'all about the murder of Janet Stahlcup, whose birthday just happens to be on the day that this episode will come out.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Yep. And for 45 years, her family had no idea who had killed her.
Oh.
So let's go.
Let's do it.
So, Janet Aline Stahlcup was born May 1st, 1957, growing up in Garden Grove, which is a city in Orange County, California. Are you familiar, Randall? Garden Grove? Orange County?
Yeah. It's a trash city.
All right. Well, at 19, she had started nursing school and was also working part-time at the UCI Medical Center. She had a plan for her life and a bright future ahead of her. Her younger sister, Lee, who was just 15 at the time of her sister's disappearance, would later describe Janet as someone who genuinely loved to help others, which is why she chose to enter the medical field. When she wasn't working, Janet loved to hang out with friends. She would read, listen to music. Her favorites were The Carpenters and Jim Croce. Her sister Lee fondly recalled how Janet would play their records over and over and over again, saying, "It used to drive me crazy." Then on December 19th, 1976, it all changed. When Janet left her apartment to go to a party at a co-worker's house in Santa Ana. However, she never made it to the party, nor did she ever return home.
Oh, no.
Janet was reported missing, and her family held a press conference offering a $5,000 reward for any information for her safe return, but that would not happen, because 8 days later, on the 27th, her Ford Falcon was found parked in a nearby apartment complex just 2 miles from her own apartment, with her body found sprawled out in the front seat. And according to her autopsy, she had been raped and manually strangled to death. The investigators assumed that she had been kidnapped when she was getting into her car, and the Stahlcups then offered a $12,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest of the killer or killers, and Janet was buried in the Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Cypress, California. So, after a tip from a witness who wanted to remain anonymous, Garden Grove PD issued an APB for two men that had been seen in the area the night Janet went missing. And the authorities wanted to question them. An artist's rendering was released of two white men, one between 22 to 24, around 5'10", 185 pounds, with shoulder-length, light-colored, wavy hair. And the other was between 26 to 28, 6 feet tall, around 180 pounds, with longer dark hair and a mustache. They were driving a 1963 or 64 two-door white Chevy sedan. Nothing, however, came of that or any of the other tips, and Janet's case went cold with her sister Lee saying, "One of my greatest fears over the years was that whoever did that to her may have gone on to hurt many more people." Mm. Well, unbeknownst to her, or anyone for that matter, the man responsible would die less than a year after raping and murdering Janet Stahlcup.
Oh, balls. That was like one I did recently, too.
Mm-hmm. So Garden Grove and Orange County authorities and the Stahlcups never gave up on Janet and finding her killer, with her sister Lee later stating, "I've seen the detective's file on the case, and it must be at least 3 inches thick. We have gone through three generations of detectives in this investigation." Then, in 2002, with the advancement of genetic technology, investigators were able to create a DNA profile of Janet's killer from evidence taken from the crime scene. However, at the time, they were unable to match the DNA to anyone in the law enforcement database, CODIS.
Got it.
Fast forward to 2020, Garden Grove police urged prosecutors to try using genetic genealogy to help match the DNA that they had on file for the suspect using familial DNA. And in 2021, they found him. Janet Stahlcup's murderer and the man they had been looking for since 1976 was Terry Dean Hawkins, and he was dead. Terry was a 23-year-old mechanic who lived in Garden Grove, where Janet's car had been found, and he was no stranger to the criminal justice system. Hawkins' rap sheet included crimes involving drugs, weapons, some DUIs, indecent exposure. He had also been charged with killing a 30-year-old woman in 1975, but the case was dismissed. And I tried to find anything on that I could, and I couldn't because it was dismissed.
I was just going to say, the fuck for? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. So after Janet's murder, Terry continued his downward spiral that would eventually lead to his death. On July 4th, 1977... Hawkins was arrested for disorderly conduct and drug-related charges, and within 24 hours, he was found dead in his cell of an overdose. And after genetic genealogy found him in 2021 and realized he was Janet's murderer, it was the testing of biological tissue from his autopsy that positively identified him as the rapist and killer of Janet Stahlcup. Members of the Orange County District Attorney's Office and the Garden Grove Police Department met with the Stahlcup family shortly after to inform them that investigative genetic genealogy had finally solved their daughter's murder. Yay. Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer later made a public statement saying, "We know who killed Janet Stahlcup because generations of law enforcement officers refused to give up on finding her killer. Advances in technology and DNA is breathing life back into cases that have grown cold over the years. Justice that had been evasive for decades is now at our fingertips, hidden away in DNA. Loved ones who have spent years wondering if they will ever have the peace of mind of knowing who killed their daughter, their sister, their friend, now know who is responsible. I want to thank the Garden Grove Police Department and the Science and Technology Unit at the Orange County District Attorney's Office for their never-ending dedication to the pursuit of justice." Garden Grove Police Chief Tom DeRay also made a statement saying, "Advances in DNA technology have not only assisted in identifying Janet Stahlcup's murderer, but have become a valuable tool for law enforcement. This case would not have been solved without the determination of our detective unit and the support from the Orange County District Attorney's Office Science and Technology Unit. We are thankful that through our partnership, we are finally able to bring closure to Janet Stahlcup's family and loved ones." Aww. Unfortunately, Janet's parents had since passed, not knowing who had killed their daughter, but her sister Lee was relieved to finally have gotten some measure of closure, stating, "When you lose someone that young, you tend to relive that trauma at every major milestone in life." She still doesn't understand why this happened and has accepted that she will never know what possessed Terry Hawkins to do what he did to her sister. And as for the terrible twist of irony in this case...
Oh, boy.
Well, authorities had spent over 4 decades searching for Janet's killer. And all the while, he had been buried just a few headstones from her.
Ah!
At Forest Lawn Memorial Cemetery.
Oh, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm. And that is the story of the murder of Janet Stahlcup.
Oh.
Yeah, luckily solved.
Yes.
And her sister Lee, they had no idea who this guy was. So they're like, it was random. And they don't know when or where she was abducted. But, you know, she had to, at some point, maybe it was getting in her car at her apartment. Maybe. They think maybe she had stopped at a store.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only 2 miles from her apartment.
Ugh.
And nowhere near where she was headed.
I hate it.
I know. And he was buried.
I really hate that.
He died less than a year. He OD'd and was buried just a few headstones away.
I really hate that.
Isn't that terrible?
That is truly.
But they got their horrendous. Justice.
They did.
They did. Which I mean, good. But, you know.
I'm wondering, you said he was a mechanic?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe they had encountered each other before. Maybe.
Who knows?
Down in a car. Did they say... Was it 2 separate sketches or that they think they saw 2 different men in the area?
There was an anonymous tip that said, hey, we saw these 2 guys in this car that were there, you know, mm-hmm. near where her car was found. Maybe it was them.
Okay.
But it was not them.
That's right.
So it was like, not them at all.
I was hoping that maybe there was one more person out there who might have some answers.
Nope.
For her sister.
Yeah. No, I mean, and... It's like she said, you know, I've got some measure of closure. We know who did it.
Yeah.
We don't know why. We'll never know why. He just...
And we know that he's already dead.
So there we go. There we go.
Horrifyingly.
Yeah. He's there.
If he was...
He's there.
Accused of murder the year before
and
hers,
got dismissed.
Makes me wonder...
And I tried.
How many others there may have been.
Exactly.
Probably exactly. At least one.
And it's interesting. So the only photo there is of him is an older photo. Looks like maybe, you know, early to mid 60s. And he just mm-hmm. looks super clean cut. Nice guy. Short hair. Doesn't look like a guy that would have weapons charges or drug charges. Mm-hmm. So clearly something happened from the time that there was that one photo.
Well,
where he just looks like a clean cut. You know,
sometimes they do.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
Yeah. Like, so
fucking pick one, throw a dart.
Right. Could Bundy.
Be. John List.
Right. Dahmer.
Yeah.
He always looked a little sketch, though. Yeah. Just in his face. I don't know.
It was just a vibe.
Yeah. It was. It was.
Vibe.
He had that vibe. He was a weird guy. Yeah. Aww. But yeah, he just looked like it. Just you know.
That's why I always tell everybody. Yeah. Just because they're handsome.
Doesn't mean shit.
You have to have several questions.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? What do you, why are you being weird?
Right.
What is, why?
Right.
I'll scream.
Right.
I'll kick you right in the jittles.
Right. Get them. Get them jittles.
I get that vibe.
Jittle kicking.
My foot's coming for your jits.
Mm-hmm. So, my sources. Frontpagedetectives.com. Victor Fuc.
Oh, boy.
It's, and you're going to see why. It's, I think it's Fucunal, but it makes me want to say Fiunke, and I know it's not, because it's spelled F-A-K-U-N-L-E, Fucunle, Fucunal.
I can't help you with that one.
Mm, but I just kept wanting to say Fiunke.
That's, I would too.
Victor Fiunke.
Yeah.
Analrapist. OrangeCountyDA.org, a 2021 press release by Kimberly Eds. California True Crime at sites.google.com.
Yeah.
NewsSantaAnna.com, Patch.com, Ashley Ludwig, and Medium.com, Liz Jin and Marta. Separate articles. And Marta's was written with AI, and it says, in the beginning, it says, warning, this article is written basically with the support of AI. And it's, I don't like it. I hated it.
That's, yeah, as you should.
That's fair.
But I mean, I...
It's a bad thing.
I just kept comparing the information and just... It was,
yeah, you're like... Mm-hmm.
AI is bad.
It's terrible. It's fucking terrible. It's awful. Bad. Horrible.
It definitely can be.
Unnecessary.
Right? I keep seeing, when like, in the conversation regarding AI, and I think I mentioned it before, but people are like... Why can't we just use AI to replace people like CEOs instead of artists? I'm like, that's a really fucking good point.
Great point.
I love it. Thank you for bringing that
up. And redistribute their money.
Yeah.
Let that trickle down.
Don't trickle.
Just
cascade.
Pay people.
Yeah.
Pay people.
Let that levy break.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. But
I don't think that's the sound a levy makes when it breaks, but you know.
I don't know. You'd have to ask Led Zeppelin.
Maybe from like space.
You'd have to ask Led Zeppelin.
Which we know I'm not going to anytime soon.
What? Go to space or ask Led Zeppelin?
I want to say both.
Okay.
But I would prefer to ask Led Zeppelin.
I mean,
there's go to two space. Of them left.
Right?
Three of them, sorry.
So many questions.
So many questions. Do you want a really funny headline from a really long time ago?
I mean, yeah, but hey.
Yeah?
Guess what?
What? Shut your fucking mouth. Shut your mouth.
Shut my poor mouth.
It's been a minute.
It was even longer than when we did the whole patroon dedicated to Jang.
D's Daily Jang.
I'm going to submit for your consideration.
No.
Yeah.
My issue with the Jang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot call it daily.
No.
It is biannually at best.
It's not an accurate representation of how frequently we get them. It is named after a paper called the Daily Jang.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. In Pakistan.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It was before your time.
Yeah.
Sure.
I covered a case where there was a newspaper called the Daily Jang, and I thought it was hilarious, rightfully.
Rightfully.
And then she...
I...
Co-opted
it. Yeah. And that's how
bastardized it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it has nothing to do with how frequently. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just...
Now I know.
A borrowed name.
Yeah. So now I know.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Go ahead. There you go. And the first sentence here. Well, holy shit, y'all, it's been a minute.
Many a minute.
Yeah. And this Jang was sent to me... by our dear, dear friend, Josh, a.k.a. Organ Woodwitch.
Oh, hell yeah.
And well...
This is going to be good.
It turns out...
Oh, boy.
...that Dearborn, Michigan...
Oh, no.
...has a pretty big problem.
Uh-oh.
Aside from the fact that it's in Michigan...
Yeah.
...the Northview Cemetery has...
Uh-oh.
...a serial shitter.
Oh, no.
Yep. So, the man or woman... has of April 23rd of this year, the year of our Lord, shat upon 7 headstones, with the first report coming in on February 25th.
Oh, no.
According to a city spokesperson, the mystery shitter doesn't go on the same headstone twice, but has not so far yet shat upon the gravesite of actor George Pappard, who, don't know, starred with Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's, and he is buried there at Northview Cemetery.
I guess... some things are sacred to serial shitters.
Mr. George Pappard.
George Pappard is a
as of now has not been not been shat on
the serial cemetery shitter.
Yeah. So, the Dearborn Police Department has no viable leads on the grave shitter, but a source familiar with the situation said that the shatter wears dark clothing and a hoodie and leaves a big mess behind, including the toilet paper, and always under the cover of darkness.
I mean,
shatting in the night. And according to city spokeswoman Katie Doyle, the department continues to work on identifying and locating the person responsible. And when asked if the police department is going to run a DNA test on the poop, the answer was a resounding no, saying that the state's caseload of serious crimes come first.
Yeah, that is fair.
And that is today's D's Daily Jang.
Oh, I'm so excited that happened. And this is not our first serial shitter.
No. And I would like to thank Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have another one that has been sent to me that will come out at some point.
Eventually.
And my source was the Free Press, Jennifer Dixon.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I'm real glad that's
Serial
back.
Shatter.
Ooh.
Well, you know, I knew yours was going to be a short McGort. Yes. Mine was a short McGort. Also, so yes.
It just needed time.
Oh, the taco chips?
I had some time between the chips.
And you taste the taco
I
now.
Taste the taco
See,
now.
I taste the taco too.
It's the only taco I want to taste.
It's like, taste the biscuit. Taste the taco. Lord Jesus, take the wheel. Not Jim, though. He can't. He's not allowed to take the wheel.
No.
Old Jimmy Cavs.
No, Jimmy Cavs is off the wheel.
Please.
He's not allowed.
No.
No, we need to find a neither. We need a neither Jesus.
Neither Jesus.
Neither Jesus.
Wow, you sounded like a scary old-timey man from a horror film.
Well, my mouth made a weird shape when the words came out. And I didn't have that many words today, they are still hard.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's what she said.
Exactly.
Well, this is not... I mean, it's still going to be funny.
I love it.
I'll have to track down where I found this because I can't remember, but I feel like it came from Michigan, which would be great. This was in a newspaper in the distant past.
Mm-hmm.
Noisy, hungry frogs sadden farmer's life. They scare his cattle, and they also eat his flannel shirt. News! It is news!
Frogs don't eat flannel?
That one apparently did.
Not with that fucking attitude.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, ooh, boy. Oh, bless
it. Frogs. I don't think they eat flannel.
Shirt-eating frogs.
That's a little scary.
Cereal shitters.
Cereal shitter. Dearborn, Michigan.
Just
7 headstones so far. I mean, this could just, you know.
We'll keep you posted on any future.
On any chat updates on the cereal shatter of Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaves a big mess behind.
Dearborn's Dookie Bandit.
Gross. But great moniker.
Thank you.
The Dearborn Dookie Bandit.
It's been a weekend.
It's brown.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Still went for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a weekend.
It's been a weekend.
There's so many words that have come out of my hands and face.
Mm-hmm. That took me a second.
I just want to turn off my brain and eat some tacos.
Well, there you go. Sounds like a plan.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Sounds like a plan, Stan.
Yeah.
Man.
Slip out the back, Jack.
Yeah.
I was like, get on the bus, Gus.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pick up the Keeley.
Way to go, brain. You did it.
Drop off the Keeley.
That's it.
Get yourself free.
There it is.
It's going to be stuck in my head now. Not mad at it, though.
It's a great song.
Great song.
It's going to be stuck in everybody's
head.
Don't
need to discuss much. Drop off the Keeley.
Oh, we also forgot.
Get yourself free.
We've got shirt-eating frogs, bisexual ghosts.
Yeah.
Cold cases.
Yeah.
Cereal shitters. And chips?
Chips?
Fucking viral porn music.
Viral porn music.
By a man that we know.
If there is any time.
This episode had a little bit of everything.
To be bisexual, it's when you're a ghost.
Especially.
Right? Because like.
Who's going to be mad at you?
Who's going to be mad?
Nobody.
Okay.
I mean, maybe the people you're groping.
Assaulting. Sure.
That's fair. Don't do that.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm not. Don't do that.
We're just specifically talking to ghosts right now.
Well, no, also humans. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I feel like needs to be.
Don't fondle without consent.
That.
Consensual fondling.
Whether.
Fingle fangling.
Whether corporeal or no.
Yeah.
We keep our hands to ourselves.
Yes. Well, unless someone asks and you want to.
Exactly.
Then, you know.
That one doesn't.
Hand it up. Get rubby.
No. Want it?
Yeah, that ghost. No, that ghost. That ghost is like, no.
Get
but it's like,
touchy.
Yeah, well, all right.
Get touchy with it.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Get touchy with it.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
But we've done it, y'all.
Yep.
We sure did.
We sure did. So y'all know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe. Uh-huh. Share.
Please.
If you'd like some exclusive motherfucking content, go become a patron on our patron.
I like how you moved the screen so you could get real close.
I almost put it in my mouth.
Real close.
Well, I mean, it's your mic.
I was going to cuff it.
I mean.
And then I just did. And you all heard it.
Yeah.
So till next time, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Hey, bye.
Bye. Gross.
Did we have a hats off to the fuck you club?
I mean, always.
Oh.
That guy.
Yeah.
That fucking
yeah,
guy.
We do. Hawkins. Fuck. Terry Hawkins. Dean Hawkins.
Terry Dean Hawkins, you sack of shit. Fuck you. Fuck your mouth. Fuck your face. Fuck your life.
Fuck exactly. You, Terry Dean Hawkins, you rotting piece of shit.
Yeah.
Is he alive? I didn't hear.
No, he's dead.
Well.
He's a rotting piece of shit.
I'm going to rub my nuts on your dead body.
Ooh.
I'll wear a condom over my nuts.
Oh, that sounds so uncomfortable.
It is, but, you know, for the sake of rubbing my nuts on a corpse.
Oh, I feel like that's how you get a real weird disease.
Condom over the balls.
I feel like at that point, no. I don't know. I don't know about corpse diseases. I don't know how strong they are, but I feel like maybe.
I don't
know.
You
think they can penetrate rubber?
Maybe, depending on how vigorous you are.
I don't know. Necrophilia is a thing. And it's never great.
Yeah. Do you know how vigorous I will be?
I don't want to know the answer to that question. Do I know you? Yes. Do I want to know the answer to that question? Absolutely. Definitely not.
I made you laugh, but I feel like it needs to be bigger.
Shit. I don't. Bigger?
Yeah.
Bigger than what? Your face. You look so.
I'm so tired.
Button.
What?
Press the fucking button.
Oh, she wants me to end the show because I've run this bit. This bit has run its course.
And I really gotta pee, too.
Ha ha! You gotta pee.